Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, it is my honor and privilege to have a very, very senior professional from the pharmaceutical world with me, Dr. Shailesh Iyengar. Shailesh, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Ashutosh.
Dr. Iyengar is a doctor of veterinary medicine. He's from IIM Ahmedabad. He's a recipient of France's highest civilian award, and he reached the peak of the pharmaceutical industry when he was the managing director of Sanofi. He's also worked for GSK. Shailesh, tell me a little bit about your early work.
Yeah, Ashutosh, first of all, congratulations for this excellent initiative, and thank you for inviting me. Talking about my early stages of my career, actually, I grew up in Gujarat. And throughout my education and entire upbringing have been in the rural areas of Gujarat. Okay. So to be honest, I studied in a municipal school and in Gujarati medium for a very long time. Right. So that was all that was available in a middle-class family. That was the beginning, and I followed my father's footstep, who was also a veterinarian. And those days, it was a common thing to do. That if your dad was in a certain line, you end up doing that. So I ended up becoming a veterinarian. Those early days, my biggest challenge, of course, was that, which I perceived at that time, that my apparent lack of English education or any convent education. That was quite a lot of fashion those days, and I thought it was a big handicap to have that. But in any case, the one thing that went into my favor was that I was always a dreamer. So I was dreaming of working for an organization which I always admired, which was a National Dairy Development Board.
I know.
Those days it was run by Dr. Varghese Kurian.
I know.
An iconic person. As luck would have it, after my graduation in Anand Veterinary College, I managed to get my first job in National Dairy Development Board. And those days it gave me an exposure to working at the grassroots levels.
Correct.
Where Dr. Kurian's philosophy was that you work for farmers. Just because you are educated, you are better trained, doesn't mean that you know everything.
Right.
People who have actually been on the grassroots have a lot to offer in terms of learning.
Correct.
So those dairy cooperatives that we were forming, it gave us enormous learnings in the initial stage when you walk up to a so-called uneducated farmer, but he knew commerce. He knew the importance of disease. He knew the importance of taking care of his animals. And I thought he knew the empowerment that the dairy co-op was offering to.
Right.
So that was the initial beginning that I started off.
Fantastic. So, you know, you worked for several companies. Before I get into what you did in the pharma industry, what would you say were three key milestones in your life?
So first and foremost, I would say is to get a break in National Dairy Development Board.
Absolutely.
I think if I look back into my over close to 40 years of my career, that has been a biggest, I would say, break. And it's also important that you do choose your career carefully. Even if the money is low, the upbringing, the value system, and the approach to one's life, I learned in National Dairy Development Board.
Right.
The second important shift happened in my career was when I decided to dream to be a part of Indian Institute of Management, Ahmedabad.
Right.
Being a Gujarati medium student and a non-mathematic student, it was almost unheard of that you would actually make it into an IIM competitive entrance test and the interview process. But I realized that when you want something desperately, you want to do things despite the so-called shortcomings, you find a way.
I agree.
And I realized that I used to look at that beautiful building of Vastrapur in IIM, and I used to think that, can I be ever in that institute and study and expand my influence or my knowledge beyond just my field, which was veterinary? And that deep desire made me to do a lot of hard work, a lot of consultation that I had to do with some of my friends and others to actually be qualified to be part of that institute.
Right.
So that made a huge difference in my life.
Yes.
And I knew that if you really want something, you can make it happen.
That's true.
And of course, the third important milestone was when a steady career that I had with GlaxoSmithKline I decided to move into a startup in Mumbai. Okay. At that time, I was running in GlaxoSmithKline, a very large operations of over 750 people, a very large business, India's number one pharma company. Mm. And then I went to this obscure company called Sanofi, wow, which was at that time a French company, had yeah, just about 50 crore turnover, yeah, and 150 people. With a 6x6 office space, with a small little place to really start building it. Right. But I realized that the joy of building brick by brick an organization is far superior than inheriting a very large empire in which you haven't really played a big role, but you were fortunate enough to get into that particular role. Fantastic. So that has been my three major...
Fantastic. I mean, I know, I'm sure IIM Ahmedabad must be very proud of this alumnus, you know.
Indeed. Yeah, that has been one of those moments which I would say would always remain in my life as a turning point.
I'm sure. So let's move to the pharmaceutical industry. You know, the industry is booming. And yet, we continue to hear about challenges, whether it is coming from China, whether it is coming from our own efficiencies. What, according to you, are some of the challenges the pharmaceutical industry faces?
I think... as we speak about challenges, it's appropriate to speak about where this industry has come. I have to say that perhaps one of the greatest success stories of India, apart from information technology, in the same breath you can talk about pharmaceutical industry. Because over the years, this industry has really given a very, very strong image of Indian capabilities of manufacturing drugs and medicines for common man. Today, the industry boasts of about 40 or 45 billion US dollar turnover, both Indian as well as export business. And we have made a name for ourselves. So I don't have to really talk about it much. Everybody knows it. I can even say that perhaps we were the very fortunate to have entrepreneurs who entered into this arena and managed to get for a large population of our India, very affordable medicines at a high quality. So that has been a great success factor. Having said that, I think the challenge that we have faced is that somewhere along the lines, we forgot that you have a responsibility to raise your vision into an advanced value chain in our industry. It's an industry of innovation.
Correct.
And we were very satisfied with what we had because our patent laws were were friendly, and we were able to introduce so many products which could not be introduced in many other parts of the world because of very tight patent regime. I think the sight that we had was pretty short term. We were very happy to build great brands within these spheres in which we could operate, but we really didn't think of really breaking through some of the unmet medical needs and trying to create our own research molecules. This is one of the biggest challenges we have.
Right.
It's being addressed, but it's still there.
I agree. Let's talk about a little bit about the role China has played in supplying so much of our ingredients. I was talking to some other people from the pharma industry, and they mentioned that there's a huge effort going on to start creating a lot of those APIs in India. What is your thought on that?
Absolutely, Ashutosh. This has been one of the stories on which perhaps even the government is regretting what they did and how policies can actually make or break an industry.
Right.
It's a classic example.
Right.
Those were the days when government of India brought about draconian price controls over the so-called active pharmaceutical ingredients.
Right.
And it became completely unviable for anybody to put up a real good API manufacturing facility and actually get any return on investment.
Right.
So the entire range of antibiotics, starting from penicillin to advanced antibiotics in amoxicillin, macrolides, and so on and so forth, all of them, one by one, started shutting down. As a result, China took the advantage of that situation.
Right.
Created large industrial base. Government gave a lot of encouragement to them.
Correct.
And as a result, they put up big fermentation plants and were able to produce these APIs at a fraction of a cost at which we were producing here. The manufacturing of drugs and medicines in India felt that it is better to import APIs from China, because after all, it was going to be price controlled. So the least price product we should get it. We could never match those prices. And it was a vicious cycle. So we ended up encouraging China to produce more and more because we were a very large consumers of those APIs. And as a result, the entire API industry. So for example, Ashutosh, today over 80% of very important APIs in our industry is actually being imported from China. But now the country has realized that if there is a crisis and if we are dependent so much on one country, it's going to impact millions and millions of lives in this country.
Absolutely.
Even a medicine like paracetamol or ibuprofen is actually imported from China.
Yes.
So now the government has set put together a full plan. My friend Sudarshan Jain, whom you have interviewed, and a few others are really working very hard with the industry and the government to create those so-called API parks in 5 or 6 states where incentives are being given. And we are going back to the original theme of self-reliance in the entire manufacturing sector. And I'm very hopeful that in the course of next 5 to 10 years, this country will once again come back into its original core strength of API manufacturing. That should really augur well for our industry.
Very encouraging. So I've got one more question for you on pharma before I move to the next part. My question is, why are Indian pharmaceutical companies not spending enough on research? Why are we constantly dependent on what others are doing?
Great question. And I can tell you that I spent my lifetime in multinational companies, but my heart is very much Indian.
Yes.
And it really hurts me that such capable people who created a global footprint for Indian pharmaceutical industry have not got even one or two products that we can talk about which were originated or researched in India. And it has got multiple reasons. One of the reasons that we realized that any innovation requires a huge amount of two things. Basically, a large pool of scientific talent, which India doesn't lack. We have it. The other thing is very important is the financial muscle. Because any new pharmaceutical molecule, and you know it very well, would take anywhere between 10 to 15 years to develop.
Yes.
And it would require anywhere between $1 and $2 billion in terms of investment to ensure that we have a world-class product which is tested on large population of clinical trials and everything else. Now, I think that risk-bearing capability was very low, because in India, everything was that ultimately you never know when the government will come with a price control. And as a result, you are constantly keeping your profit close to you. You're not really spending into R&D because you don't know whether you will get the returns at the end of the day.
Very well.
Two things changed, Ashutosh. In 2005, when Government of India introduced product patent, it was very unpopular at that time.
Right.
But I think today the Indian industry has realized it was one of the smartest move, because we are pushed to do research now. Because we know that if we do the right research, you have a possibility of getting a patent, which will give you a certain number of years to recover your investment.
Right.
That's a very simple, important aspect.
Correct.
And the second aspect is that increasingly now academic institutes are realizing that only doing basic research without realizing its impact on the human health is not going to help. So there are more and more collaboration that is now taking place between industry and academia to come up with a partnership where you can develop some of these new concepts and work together. These were the two major factors why Europe and US actually dominated the R&D field in pharma industry.
And it's very encouraging to hear you say academia and industry are working together. I mean, in the Western world, they have done that for years.
Years together. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think today it has, you know, most universities have realized that it is from bench to bedside, as they call it. We need to understand that what we do in our lab, does it really help the mankind? And that's where the interface with industry really helps, because industry brings a lot of knowledge of what actually is happening in the clinics and what kind of medicines are required. So I think going forward, even the government of India has realized that this industry now has to take the next leap into the R&D arena. So, for example, we are now doing well in biotechnology, which is an emerging field where Indians can really, really bring a lot of value. Vaccines as is another area where I think India has done extremely well. So we should be able to drive that part in the innovation channel. So once again, I am hopeful that next 20 years are going to be, you know, very exciting in our industry.
I agree. So let's move to vaccine. I mean, Sanofi is a big vaccine manufacturer all over the world. I'm going to ask you two or three questions on vaccination. You know, my first question is that, and you just said India is a big player. What role is India playing for vaccines in the world? I know we are the biggest manufacturer.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm actually, this is a very proud statement that I'm about to make, and that to say that to be able to supply 60% of the volumes of the vaccine of the world is an incredible position to be in.
Absolutely.
And I think India has really, really reached that stage. Our vaccines are there across the globe, and especially in emerging markets, especially in Africa, poor countries, where the children can die if Indian vaccines were not available.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great place to be in. And so there is a culture of Indian entrepreneurs who have done exceedingly well in this area. Mm. And to my mind, I think the greatest investment in healthcare that one can make is in prevention.
I agree.
And I think vaccines are perhaps the greatest investment one can make, because you are going to reduce hospitalization, you're going to reduce mortality, you're going to increase longevity. You look at it from any angle, it makes complete sense to prevent. If there is a possibility of a vaccine preventable disease, then no child should ever die, because we should be able to protect them.
Absolutely.
And I think this field has made tremendous progress. As you know, we have eradicated smallpox, and of course, about a few years ago, India became polio free. Entirely because of vaccination.
Correct.
So, yeah, I think that's an area which surely has done a great job.
Wonderful. So I've got one more question on vaccines before I move to some personal questions. And the question for you is that no matter what we do in India in terms of spreading vaccination, there are still a very large number of children who don't get vaccinated. Why do you think this is happening?
Largely to do with, I think, the education, awareness, myths, also beliefs that age-old, in some communities, there are age-old beliefs that this can actually create more harm.
Correct.
And to me, it's also failure of vaccines has also misfired. For example, vaccines have to be carried in cold chain. And any break in the cold chain, and such a vaccine, when it is given to a child, and if the child suffers from the disease, the whole community gets a negative feeling.
Absolutely.
That this has got no meaning. It's actually a gimmick. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a very responsible role, and the vaccine manufacturers have to be extremely careful that it's not enough to just produce vaccine.
Right.
But till the last mile, mm-hmm. it has to maintain the cold chain, mm-hmm. and that there are vaccinators who do that job. So it's a variety of things that play a role here. And I agree with you that despite the obvious benefits of vaccination, unfortunately, it is not. In some cases, it's still the myth remains, and many of the children remain without vaccinated.
Very true.
It's a challenge that healthcare system has to address going forward.
Absolutely. Because, you know, children are the future. And
exactly.
So let's move to a few personal questions for you. My first question is that you had such a successful career. You had worked with such amazing companies. Where do you draw your inspiration from?
I think the life is full of learnings, and as you would agree with me, Ashutosh, I have learned at every step. But I would say in 3-4 categories. So on a personal front, I would say, to start with my wife of 38 years, and I have seen in her, she's about 7-8 years younger to me, and I still remember she was my friend before we got married, and she was the one who encouraged me to take on the challenge of getting into IIM. Mm. And I remember at just before the interview, and we were still not married, she was with me, and she herself is a management graduate from Institute of Rural Management. She asked me a question. He said, Sailesh, you're going to be asked some mathematic questions inside in the interview. I'm going to ask you a trick question. Hmm. What is the square root of 0.9?
Wow.
Okay. So I said, maybe 0.3. So she said, Sailesh, no, it's 0.92. I said, "Arey, square root of 0.9 is 0.92. Anyway, I left it at that. And then I go inside and they ask me all kinds of questions, everything else. And then there's this one guy who was suspiciously looking at me, looked at me and says, how good are you in maths? I said, pretty good. So, and I knew I was shivering at that time. And he asked me a question. What is the square root of 0.9?
Wow.
And that's how I got into institute. So what I'm trying to say is that sometimes luck favors the brave. And if he had asked me second question, I wouldn't have made it.
Right.
So that is, she's been all my life. One of the things that I learned from her was never say die attitude. And life is not a straight line in career. You always have ups and downs. You need a partner who believes in you, who challenges you, but at the same time, stays with you when chips are down. When everybody gives up on you, there's somebody who kind of hold on to you and say, look, hang on here. It's okay. Since as long as we both are together, we can navigate.
Very well.
So that was one. My two daughters actually have been a great inspiration to me because one of them went to, you know, when she's in New York and she could do everything that she wanted to do. And she went to MSF, the Médecins Sans Frontières, and went to places which I couldn't even imagine in Africa.
Yeah.
Help those poor people who are you know, under war-torn areas,
right,
in Sierra Leone and places like that, or Ebola impacted places, to actually volunteer and help.
Mm.
And I realized that how driven she is to what she wants to do.
Wonderful.
My younger daughter, who left the management field, which I thought she should do it because I was a management student,
right.
My wife is a management student, and she decided to go and become take flying lessons,
okay,
and to do completely different in her life. And I thought I never had that boldness to do things entirely different than what I thought would be a normal course.
Mm-hmm.
So they have been a great inspiration.
Fantastic.
Besides that, of course, a spiritual upbringing by my mother, who always said that things which are not in your control, there's no point in fretting and fuming about it. Accepting it gracefully would make your life much easier. This was from the childhood. And I thought that has remained with me in corporate life. And last but not the least, scores of employees and colleagues with whom I worked. Each one of them, in their own way, has contributed to my growth. So I would say that no particular individual will be unfair to just name it, but I would say a large number of people have played a great role.
That's really brilliant. And I'm so glad there's so much gratitude in you for so many people who have, you know, impacted you and your life. So I've got time for two more questions. One question is that if you, Sailesh, were a role model to millions of children who closely followed your life choices, what is the one thing you would change in yourself?
I would say I would be more courageous than what I was. I thought I was bound by certain upbringing and certain ways of looking at things where taking bold decisions and charting uncharted path was not the norm.
Okay.
If I had to put the clock back, I would do a few things differently and follow what you youngsters do it now. I think it's the great feeling when I see youngsters taking their own decisions and charting those course. I feel I wish I could have done that. But yes, that's one thing I would say that I would change.
Thank
to
you.
Be more courageous.
And my last question to you, and it comes back to the pandemic. How are you rethinking your life in the new world order?
I think I've realized the value of life and value of living every day. Because, you know, it does give you that that sense that how important this one day is. And to give up on that, on small little issues that we have in our lives and really complaining about it makes no sense.
Correct.
I think I have started enjoying a lot, knowing that we have a problem. We are all working together to resolve that issue. We will never give up. But at the same time, stay very positive. And to be honest with you, even though I'm starting my second career, literally, but not a single dull day.
Wonderful.
There's so much to do, so much to offer.
Right.
And as long as you have that positive feeling. No job is a small job. Nothing is, and as long as you take yourself not too seriously and enjoy every moment of it, I think that's a simple message for me. The pandemic has taught me how precious this life is all about.
Shailesh, thank you very much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you for your words of wisdom.
Likewise.
And I wish you lots of success.
Thank you so much, Ashish. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.